Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Daniel Foster, news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America. Jim Garrity is off today. And Dan, yesterday, Jim and I had bad news, worse news, and crazy news. Today, we definitely have bad and crazy. This first one, I think, is bad news. I'll see what you think about it. But one of the things that we've heard from the Republicans on the House side of Capitol Hill is that they're basically planning to agree to 6 months' extension of current levels of federal spending in order to avoid a possible government shutdown before the election, which would obviously be a huge issue. The new fiscal year technically starts October 1st. And so there is certainly some political pragmatism to it. But once again, whether it's the continuing resolution from early last year, what a lot of people consider giving up way too much ground on the debt ceiling and certainly allowing the sequestration of defense funding to go forward, and now not fighting real hard over spending cuts, if at all, right now, in the areas where this House of Representatives actually had a chance to stop something bad from happening and really make a difference. They've passed a lot of good things that have died in the Senate, and they knew they would. There's not much they can do about that. But in these areas where they really had a way to make their position have some resonance, it seems like once again they've done less than they should have.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with the general sentiment there, but I will say this. The reality of the way politics works is that we had a first-term president who controlled both houses of Congress for 2 years. He ran the show then. The Republicans put up a brave and fierce opposition to Obamacare bill, ultimately unsuccessfully. Right. Then you really had the direction-shifting election of 2010, and the Republicans in the House had one solid year to do good work before presidential politics started interfering and basically determining what course John Boehner had to take. I mean, think about this, Greg. How often have you heard the names Eric Cantor and John Boehner over the last year? And how often did you hear them in 2011? It's a political reality that the presidential election is going to make, I think, House Republicans much more cautious about what they do. There's no reason for them to pick a fight that spills over into their chances of winning the White House. I agree with you. It would be ideal if the continuing resolution at least made some more nominal cuts to spending like some of the past continuing resolutions have. But the irony is that I think the one thing that has the best chance of sticking that House Republicans had a piece of is the sequestration, which is going to be potentially very, very bad, but it's going to cut a lot of spending and a lot of spending from defense. Most Republicans, except sort of the Ron Paul school, think these cuts are going to be bad and dangerous, as does the Pentagon. But that's ironically the one thing that Republicans had a hand in, this automatic trigger sequestration that is most likely to stick.
And they're desperately trying to roll that back, even introducing legislation to do that this weekend, cut from other areas. But, of course, the Democrats will have no part of that, and they should have seen that coming last year. But we'll see how it goes from here. What's done is done. Hopefully they can make changes before our national defense is gutted in a way that even Democrats at the Pentagon are, like you said, are upset about. On to martini number two now. And obviously, Dan, the biggest thing that happened yesterday is not at all the killings of four U.S. diplomats. It's how Mitt Romney's statement was timed following the unrest at the Egyptian embassy on Tuesday when he called the mealy-mouthed response from the embassy disgraceful. The media has decided that that was lacking in tone and judgment because clearly he should have known when he released that statement that murders were going to happen in Libya a short time later. Not one to lose the opportunity to gain back some ground he probably lost yesterday. President Obama on 60 Minutes reacting to Mitt Romney saying that we should never apologize for American values and that the Obama administration's initial response was weak.
There's a broader lesson to be learned here. And, Governor Romney seems to have a tendency to shoot first, name later. And as president, one of the things I've learned is you can't do that. It's important for you to make sure that the statements that you make are backed up by the facts and that you've thought through the ramifications before you make them.
Do you think it was irresponsible?
I'll let the American people judge that.
Steve Croft was the 60 Minutes interviewer there. Dan, I'm not quite sure what facts Mitt Romney got wrong here, unless, of course, he's supposed to wait ad infinitum for something else to happen so he can postpone his statement even more.
There's sometimes, I try to be a happy warrior, Greg, as you know, but there's sometimes when you look at the way that the deck is stacked, I won't say necessarily against us, but the deck is stacked in a certain way, and there's sometimes you just sort of throw up your hands and think, how do we ever win elections? I joked on Twitter the other day, I'll trade all my liberal friends, Citizens United, for a media this compliant. It'd be a fair swap. So we have four Americans killed. And, you know, people talk a lot about faux outrage. That's a new thing in politics, that you manufacture outrage over things you're not really angry about to try and score some political points. Nobody talked about faux outrage yesterday among conservatives, because conservatives really are outraged that on the anniversary of September 11th, four Americans, including only the fifth or sixth U.S. ambassador in history to die at his post, were murdered. And Mitt Romney's response to something that happened in Egypt was the number one thing leading all the network news and all over the blogosphere. So we have the first interview with a president who has skipped every other intelligence briefing, who skipped an intelligence briefing yesterday to go to Las Vegas to fundraise a day after saying that, you know, this was not a day for politics. And the first major media outlet to interview him about an attack on United States soil on the anniversary of September 11th asked the president to play pundit in chief about what the tone of Mitt Romney's response. And, you know, it must be really awesome for political pundits to have the president do their job for them. I just found the entire thing disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely disgusting and disgraceful. That word applies not only to the U.S. response to the manufactured outrage of Islamists over an internet video that may or may not exist and certainly hasn't been released. That was plenty disgraceful, but exactly, completely abdicating their duty to cover the real story rather than some manufactured political angle to help the president's reelection effort was about as low as you can get, and they've been pretty low before. So, but not to be outdone, apparently one of the reasons that the security at the U.S. Embassy in Egypt in Cairo was breached to the extent that it was because there was an order for the Marines there not to carry live ammunition. Now, some of the reports suggest this came from the State Department. Some say it was an order from the ambassador there, Ann Patterson. Either way, just having our folks there with limited ability to defend themselves and U.S. sovereignty doesn't do much other than make a nice picture, Dan. We know there's been plenty of unrest. There was a whole team of election observers and others who have been detained there in the past. We know that this is not our father's Egypt or even last year's Egypt. For some reason, people seem to think that just posing as security is going to get the job done. Clearly, it was proven wrong in big-time ways on Tuesday.
Not only is it not our father's Egypt, it's not England or France. Right. You know, it's hazard pay area, as we've seen. I mean, this is a young republic. We talked yesterday around here about how, you know, at least in Libya, the Libyan people actually seem to be more apologetic about the tragedy that happened there than the Egyptians, especially the Egyptian government, which has remained shamefully silent on the matter, except to say that the attack was regrettable only because the U.S. government had nothing to do with this video, not because you shouldn't attack embassies for someone's stupid YouTube video. But this is not England or France or some allied country. These are two young republics. And in Libya, at least, there's the excuse that this place is still basically in chaos. In Egypt, they've had their elections, they've formed their government, and they're supposed to have the institutional capacity to protect diplomats, which is one of the oldest rules in foreign relations, is you protect diplomats and embassies. It's the thing that lets civilization and intercourse between nations happen. And, you know, it goes back to the sort of the dawn of Europe as a real place and the West. So if those states can't protect our diplomats, then you better make sure that we can. And that's why you have Marines posted at embassies. They're not there for decoration. They're not like the guards at Buckingham Palace.
That's exactly right. So hopefully lessons have been learned here. We've paid a very high price for these lessons to be learned. So let's hope that they are at least gleaned as a result of this and major changes are made, because from the looks of Yemen and Egypt again today, it appears that certainly tomorrow could be a very interesting and perhaps difficult day. And who knows how long these could be going in this latest episode of manufactured radical outrage. So, Dan, not exactly the cheeriest day to have you back, but always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Daniel Foster, news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus at Radio America. Please join Jim Garrity and I tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch.